Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up a deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
We are not live in downtown St. Louis tonight. We are high above Las Vegas in the Dennis Phillips Suite at the Rio All Suites Hotel, the home of the 2009 World Series of Poker. I'm Paul Harris, along with St. Louis's poker millionaire, Dennis Phillips, and the poker coach, Joe McGowan. And we are just a few days into our World Series 09 adventure. And who's made money so far?
Dead silence. Oh, my gosh.
Does the cash game count and the satellite count?
Yeah, I think they okay. count a little bit.
I know a valet guy down here that's doing all right.
Now, tonight on the show, we've got a couple of special guests here in Las Vegas. First up, the legendary gambler, Amarillo Slim. We talked about him on the show a few weeks ago. Tonight you will hear him live and in person, and we actually recorded almost an hour of material with Slim. You're going to hear about 15 minutes of it tonight, and then over the course of the next couple of months, we will sprinkle into the show short 3 to 5 minute segments with Slim telling some of his greatest gambling stories you will love to hear. But tonight on the show, you will get to hear about Slim's adventures in the Champions Invitational as the 1972 WSOP champion. He was invited to take part in an event with 20 other poker-playing champions from WSOP's past. He'll tell you a little bit about that. And you'll also hear about a little prop bet that he had going on with his buddy of 45 years, Doyle Brunson. Also on tonight's show, Andy Block, the MIT graduate who was once a member of the MIT legendary blackjack team, turned himself into a poker-playing professional, has won millions doing that, and has stories about playing in this year's WSOP and some strategy stuff for you as well. All this, by the way, on his 40th birthday. And speaking of 40th, this year at the WSOP, they had the 40K tournament. Dennis played in that, and where'd you end up?
I finished right in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a kind of a roll of dice type things, especially when you're that kind of high-quality players. I mean, I sat down with Daniel on my right and half a dozen other pros you recognize on the table there. I did outlast Daniel. He got killed on a hand. He got beat by pocket threes. Oh, you know. But every table in there was a tough table.
Yeah.
There's 201 players, of which you recognize about 199 of them. So, but I enjoyed it. I love that kind of competition.
You're not intimidated by that at all?
Not anymore, frankly. Oh, you sit down, you enjoy it. These are the kind of guys that you can respect their play, and they'll respect yours, and you can make a move, and they recognize it as such, and you won't see the questionable ones that you'd run into a 1K, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the play there.
Yeah. The 1K was the event that we all played this weekend. The stimulus special, as the WSOP called it, the $1,000 buy-in, which I think is the lowest buy-in event they have, except for the casino employees, $500 event, starts the thing every year. And
tremendous. I was lucky enough. I was over to watch the 40K final table. Greg was on there, a friend of mine, Greg Gramer.
Yes.
And when I walked over to it, some of the guys, Nolan was there, Seth was there, and he grabbed hold of me and led me over. And I actually got to sit at the table with Jeffrey Pollock and the other guys right there with the ESPN crew behind the cameras, not in the stands. Mm-hmm. I had a fantastic view in that. And we were just talking, and Jeffrey Pollock is bouncing off walls.
This is the commissioner and the president of the World Series of Poker.
Yeah, he is doing a fantastic job. It's changed so much in the last couple of years, the way it's organized, the quality of the dealers, everything else has just been stepped up, and a lot of the credit goes to him and the staff he's put around him. But now that he's reaping the rewards for it. They were hoping to get, you know, maybe 5,000 in the 1K, right, and make this a monster. And they were really crossing their fingers and hoping, and our prop bet was nowhere near that. They filled every seat in the casino, every seat in the hallway, everywhere they could set up a poker table, they put players because they all wanted to play in it.
6,012, I think, was the final number of entries.
It was over 6,000, I know that. It is the largest non-main event poker event in the world ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
6,000 people in here on it.
Stunning.
Stunning.
Now, Joe, we've talked a little bit about all of our experiences in tournaments, big and small, in the past. How, when you sat down there yesterday, or Sunday rather, you were in day 1B, as I was. When you sat down in that event and you looked around this Amazon room full of all of these people, it's not like a main event where people are full of expectation and hope and, you know, they want to be the next Peter Eastgate, Jamie Gold, Greg Raymer, Joe Hashem. They're thinking of that sort of thing. Did it have a different feel to you than a main event, or that same level of excitement for a $1,000 buy-in?
It 100% has a different feel. There are friends of mine and people that come play in that. That's their main event. You know, that's their one shot. It's a $1,000 deal. They come out for a long weekend. They play. It's a big, big event for them. But the main event, that's its own special thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's totally, totally different. The good thing for me is I chose Sunday for a couple reasons. Number one, if I was first out, I still beat half the field almost because the first day, all the players that got knocked out. So if someone asked me, what place did you come in? I came in 2,900th out of 6,000.
Right.
It's all in how you stated, isn't it? Yes.
You know, I wrote on my blog, I beat 82% of that field. Okay. I came in 1,100th.
It's a good tip for the main event. Take day four. You know, a lot of 8,000, you're going to come in 2,000.
Yeah.
Where were we? It is a totally different feel. I chose Sunday. The main reason was because I wanted to try to control the action. I was hoping I could get a table where I didn't have two or three of these internet type of players with their, you know, style of play where they're raising and betting every single pot. And Sunday is a big, big online day. And tons of the online players chose Saturday to play day one.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose Sunday for day one. And as luck would have it, I got a table of people that were very, very tight, very, very conservative, not a typical internet style of play. And I got to take advantage of that. So I started out hot. I was the bully at the table, and I didn't get played back at. It was a dream situation. You start with 3,000 in chips. I loved that it started out 25 blinds, not 25-50. That was a nice surprise for me.
With
this year.
One-hour rounds.
It was great. There was a little room for play. Still not a major deep stacked event, which is why I wanted to take risks early, and I've talked about that in previous shows. You know, I ran a big bluff early in my first hand, and if I would have been called where I did have only ace-king, great starting hand, but at the end of it, I only had ace-king, and if he called me, I was left with 400 chips. Fortunately, he folded the river, and, you know, I was off to the races there. Now I had a little bit of bluffing chips, and, you know, I chipped up to about 10,000 pretty quickly within the first, I think, hour and a half.
Wow.
Well done.
The wheels fell off after that. I mean, I survived whatever, you know, 12 more hours or so. But
well, you outlasted us. You won our last longer bet.
Well, Joe not made it. Really. Not really. Our friend Maura, Dennis's girlfriend, is hopefully still in it. She survived day two.
Yeah.
And she had, I don't know how many chips she ended with. I think about 17,000. I think average might have been 25,000 or so. I'm not sure because I got knocked out a couple levels before the end of day one.
But you outlasted me by an hour, damn you. The good news is we both beat Dennis by a long shot because Dennis went out early. By the way, you were talking about trying to take advantage of the table. I had a similar situation when I got there. I thought there would be some of these young internet players. I forgot. I wish I thought ahead like you did. Okay, the Sunday Millions starts about the same time as our event does, and a lot of those online players will be on PokerStars or some of the other sites, and they'll be doing that because that's their weekly ritual. I didn't think of that. So I expected there to be some young guns who were going to try to play that online aggressive game that I've seen so many times in other tournaments and try to run over the table. I sat down, and it was a table that wasn't meek in any way, but it was pretty tight. I identified one guy at the table who I thought would be kind of the wilder player. Turns out he was the most solid player at the table. Instead, there was a guy who I thought would be really solid who played every hand. This is not a good strategy, by the way, in any tournament to play every single hand. Now, at the beginning, that was working for him because he was catching cards and also because he would take advantage of anybody's weakness. If you checked the river to him, he would bet it and people would lay it down when they were weak. And then he would show a bluff. He always showed his bluffs, and when he didn't, we knew he wasn't bluffing. But after a while, you see him chipping up for the first round, round and a half, 2 rounds. When we took that first break at the end of 2 hours, I said to you guys and a couple of other people, we got a guy who's doing this at my table. I guarantee you he's not here in round four.
I think what I asked you was, can I get his phone number?
Yeah. There's just no shot of playing every hand in any poker game anywhere and continuing to have success. Even if you're getting lucky, if you're a card rack at the beginning, eventually it's going to go against you. And sure enough, 30 minutes into round three, that was an empty seat.
Yeah. Well, here's a little bit, too, if I can kind of take some of that poker coach stuff and try to help some of our listeners. You know, for me, I was very aggressive in the first two levels. And the reason is people will fold pocket jacks, possibly, in the first two levels. And I've talked about this a little bit before in previous shows. They will lay down an ace queen because they don't want to go broke early.
Especially if it's their only tournament. They came to the World Series of Poker. They bought into their one tournament. They really want to play it.
Right. Yep. They want to play solid. But what happens now, they start with 3,000 in chips, gets to level 3 or 4, they have 2,200, the average stack is, you know, whatever, 3,800, start to feel a little desperate, the blinds are going up. Now, I have to change my strategy, which I did, and I was hoping I would pick up some cards, which my cards weren't great after that point, which doesn't matter, but I couldn't keep raising with 7-10 in these different hands and outplay people.
Yep.
Because what happened is now I come in for a standard 3x raise for 600, and the guy that only has 1,800 left is looking to go all in, and he does.
Yeah.
So I had to change gears a little bit, throttle back a little bit at that point in the tournament. So you can't be aggressive, 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 aggressive.
Right.
You have to know when to put on the brakes, when those shove stacks are to your left that are likely to come in over the top of you with a standard raise and take your chips.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bluff call with a 7-10. You can't outplay people.
Yeah.
You know, although one guy tried that at my table with a 5-6, an all-in, and another all-in. He called with a 5-6. He thought it was a good call because he was getting the right price or something.
Maybe I have two live cards. That's what he was
saying.
Against two other players, not very likely.
No, but you make a very valid point. The same guy that would have folded ace-queen on the first round or two, he's on level four. He's looking at 2,200. He has a queen-jack now, and he suddenly is calling. You're all-in.
Right. Not is he not betting.
Yeah.
Which is much preferred.
Right.
He's calling an all-in.
That's what I mean.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying with you.
Yeah.
On the other one, he won't bet an ace-queen, but on this one, he'll call a queen-jack. It's like, whoa, type deal. But, yeah, it does happen. That's an excellent point there. And realizing where you're at and where your blinds are and what kind of a stack. That's the other thing. Again, you should be able, at any table you're at, to stand up, turn around, and recite and tell what every chip stack is at the table.
Right.
You've got to know your position there.
And I think the lesson for our listeners here is if you do get into a 1K next year, or if you're coming out and you're playing another tournament, you should really listen to us, because all three of us got knocked out of this tournament, so we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Speaking of which, it's one of the other points that Jeffrey brought up. He was saying on this thing that this 1K is so successful, and there's so many people, again, come out here to play one event or something like that, that they are, he said, one of the first things we're going to do when this is all over in July, August, when we get together for next year, is we're going to look at maybe making three 1K events, maybe staggering one in the middle, one beginning, one at the end, maybe whatever, you know, and coming up with some ideas that way. And I think it's an excellent one, because if you've got 6,000 people out here on the first weekend of the WSOP, this thing is being kicked off. It's a 10-yard head start of anything they've had before.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. And everything else is going. 916 in the Omaha High Low, a record there for that event. This is just going unbelievable.
And you know what else? Only a few years ago, where they have the poker kitchen, which is outside, and it's in a kind of tent that they put in there, a temporary tent, which is nice. But those used to be poker tables just 3 years ago. And I think maybe 3-4 years ago when I came out here, there were craps dealers and, you know, if they call them dealers, and roulette people that man the roulette thing. They were dealing the poker. And honestly, it was
terrible.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
The cards themselves a couple years ago, they introduced a certain type of card that they try to do. They were hard to read for the players. The things from the ceiling for where you sat, they weren't orange, you know, for this section, and blue for this section. Now it's easy. They have worked out the bugs. I truly have not heard one complaint this entire time I've been here.
And that is so unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
The job that they have done and that they are doing, and I'm not saying this, it is unbelievable. I mean, it's really...
I agree.
You take thousands of people in anything. I don't care if it's a World Series of Poker or, you know, a jewelry convention in Chicago.
Yep.
And try and put them together. There's going to be complaints. There's going to be problems. There's going to be snafus on it. There haven't been. Jeffrey down there is still smiling like crazy. I mean, it's just going so smoothly.
I'm sure he is. So this is the beginning of our World Series of Poker 2009. Lots more to come here at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. Even though we're on the road, we bring our sponsors with us, and one of our biggest sponsors, of course, is PokerStars, the website where you can play against Dennis Phillips.
Absolutely. I will log on there anytime I get a chance. Haven't played the last couple of days, but by gosh, I will change that.
That's because you haven't had a chance. You've been so busy.
Well, yeah, that's going to change. But again, the same thing you were talking about with the Sunday Millions, with these others. This is PokerStars. This is the biggest site in the world. This is the biggest one where you can go and you can learn any kind of a game. When I talk about Omaha, I talk about Raz, I talk about any of these mixed games or the horse. You want to get good at it, go online, get your basics, play against other pros, learn how to play this game at a high level. You can do it there. Any kind of a level you want to play, any kind of time, day or night, 24 hours a day, these guys are on there, and you've got tons of competition, tons of ways to learn it. You know, log on, guys, at PokerStars.net.
And by the way, we get email from people sometimes about when I go on PokerStars, how do I know where Dennis is? Right at the top of the screen there,
yep,
there's an option to find a player. You look for D.Phillips.
They've got me hidden real well.
It's not your whole name, Dennis Phillips, but just look for D.Phillips, and you can find out what table he's at, and you'll see that there are plenty of people on the rail watching that table, and that's all available to you on PokerStars as well. We'll be right back with Amarillo Slim. From the 2009 World Series of Poker, this is the Lumiere Place Final Table.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Reactor Watches. This is the watch that I wear, guys. If you see me on the final table, I guarantee on my wrist will be a Reactor watch. They have, right now, a huge, huge display over here at the Venetian Casino. It's a nationwide showing of all the premier jewelry watches that you can find. Theirs is a blowaway display. You ought to go over there. It's all sorts of styles, men's, women's, whatever it is, a huge display, and they'll do it. They are known for their durability. They're known for their reliability. On that rare occasion, too, when one of their watches has a problem, they will repair it ASAP. It's not one of these 6-8 weeks you did the watch mailed off and you never see it back. This is the watch that is worn by pro athletes all around everywhere. Albert wears one. I can name you a dozen more. Reactor Watches, an awesome watch. I love it. I wear it all the time. Reactor Watches, happy to have them as sponsor of the Lumiere Place Final Table.
Now, back to the Lumiere Place Final Table, where Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris are talking poker on 590 The Fan KFNS.
We are in Las Vegas for the 2009 World Series of Poker. I'm Paul Harris with St. Louis's poker millionaire Dennis Phillips and the poker coach Joe McGowan, high above the Rio, where the World Series of Poker 2009 is taking place, and several miles away from where the World Series originated some 40 years ago. 3 years into the World Series history, our next guest was the champion. In 1972, Thomas Preston became the world champion of poker. You know him better by his name, Amarillo Slim. And we are so happy to have you here. Welcome to the show.
My pleasure to be with you.
You played in the Champions Invitational. There were fewer than two dozen of you who played in this, and it was you and your other bracelet holders from years gone by, as well as recent ones. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, it was good because I recognized about 10 people in there that I had sent a size 15 hat to. Right after they won the tournament, you damn near had to get an appointment to talk to some of them. Boy, they got important after they won that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And most of them couldn't track an elephant in 4 foot of snow, but they were all, you see them posed down there. When that camera comes on, there's about four of them has an orgasm, and they jump up and start scratching their nose. But I kind of enjoyed it. It was just it's kind of like a reunion for me. You know, a lot of those guys I've done something for us sometime or other in their life.
Well, let me tell you, that was an awesome lineup to see, and they started out with the recent ones and then worked their way back to the important ones on there. And it was flat-out amazing. I was so impressed to see you guys walking up there.
I had the pleasure of sitting down at a table with you at the Wynn a few years ago in a cash game.
Yeah.
And it was a great deal of fun because you were telling stories, and it was absolutely wonderful. But I'm curious about, for a guy who, I mean, we're talking about stories with you and Doyle and Saylor going back a long way before a lot of today's poker players weren't even alive at the time. How is it for you playing against some of these young, especially online players or more aggressive players? How is it for you when you sit down with them at a table?
You won't believe me, but I feel that soft as butter. I'm telling you, because most of them stereotype themselves to what they'll do. And if that situation comes up 10 minutes later, they'll do the same thing. If it's a week later, they'll do the same thing. So I think if you're observant, but let me tell you, they play a lot better than every one of us old-timers think. Now, these boys have got all access to all this sophisticated equipment, and they know the prize. Well, we've got that in double in our old pea brain, and I know it without going to a computer. But theirs is probably a lot more precise and accurate and been run through millions of hands. Yeah. And they use it to their advantage, and I respect that. I like it. I like for them to be clever, because sooner or later you might. I saw about three champions down there yesterday. That two of them I beat to his hometown when he. I was in his hometown before he got home from the tournament. One of them played about 2 hours and jumped the guy high, and he said, "What in the hell am I doing?" He said, "Slim, get your ass back to Amarillo." I'm serious, because we've had some winners that, not distracting from anyone, but some of the winners were lesser players than some of the people that's still on the rail.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you'll find that in any industry.
That's what I'm saying, and I'm not rapping it, because I'm all for them, because the more of them that learned to play, the better my business was. Of course, I've about quit now.
What are your plans for the rest of the 2009 World Series of Poker? Will you be in the main event again?
Well, if I'm alive. And if I'm not, I'll hire somebody to prop me up if they can deal me in. That's all I know.
Have you played every one?
Every one but one. 2 years ago or 3 years ago. 4 years ago, there's was it? I had some health problems. I had a horse fall on me in the primitive area of northern Idaho out in that Bitterroot Wilderness. Stuart Udall, the past Secretary of the Interior, called me and wanted to know if I wanted to help him introduce some grizzlies into an area. There wasn't any grizzly bears. That's right down my line. I've got 4 pack horses up there. Boys, I keep the year around. So I went with him. The horse fell on me, crushed me, broke everything on the left side of me. So...
That year you couldn't make it.
Couldn't make it, and I did. I chartered a plane, an air ambulance, they called it. My doctors heard about it, and, boy, they axed it in a hurry. They said I couldn't stand it.
I wanted to ask a quick question, question. I'm a big tells person. A lot of these computer guys and internet guys, they just kind of look down, and they'll study the betting patterns.
Can't see the forest for the trees.
And do you believe in tells? Do you have any... You know, tells that you really like.
Doyle used to have one.
Okay.
Every time he bluffed, he'd kind of whistle.
Oh, this is great. I love this. I love this. I love
and
this.
And he asked me, what is it you? He says, "You look like you're playing paper on me." I said, "I know your hand." And he says, "I know you do." He says, "What is it?" And I didn't tell him for several years. And I tell you, he'd make a big bet, and they'd stall. Of course, all these kids now, they're stalling. They've been watching TV, so they wait.
Right.
You can lay 20 to 1, they throw their hand away. Because if they really got it, it don't take that long to find it. I tell them. That
right,
doesn't make sense. He's not there. He already knows it. He's looked at his hand 30 times. So a dog would bet, and then he'd go... He'd kind of whistle. So, boy, that was soft butter for me.
Now, it's great, too, because that tell of weakness also helps you when he's strong. So you kind of get
certainly
both,
there's
get
a
both,
difference.
Get both ends. You know, that's great.
Yeah. I don't believe it's as strong as they want you to think, because all these guys now, if that camera wasn't there, then act a lot quicker.
Right.
And that's why I tell all of them, I said, if you wait just a little longer, that guy's liable to pass out, and then you can just reach over and look at his hand, and you'll know what to do. That embarrasses them, so they act on their hand. You follow me?
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's the way it is.
Did you ever find somebody who you were playing against, Slim, who was unreadable, who you couldn't get a tell on?
Oh, yeah. Some of them, this Betty Carey was one of them. That drug lord gave her $100,000 to play me head up at the Hilton at my first tournament. So something happened where I knew her hand, and I made a mistake of doing an interview, and I told her what it was. So they corrected it. The next time I played her, I played her at the Horseshoe. I played her $100,000 head up at the Horseshoe, and she showed up with these kind of things.
Headset.
And they wouldn't even let her talk to me because she was telling me her hand.
Uh-huh.
So it made it a little harder, but and I think she's the best woman player there's ever seen.
Now, tell us about this race between you and Doyle.
Oh,
in the
we've
cart.
Matched it. We haven't matched it for as much money as we'll wind up betting. Chances are there's going to be some funds change hands. He was ribbing me about walking down there and back every time, which gets to be a long ways for that son of a bitch that's 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, part of it's downhill. So he said, why don't you rent you one of these scooters? That's how this come about, just as natural as anything in the world. Yeah. And I says, well, hell, why would I want a scooter? I could walk all the way down there and carry you piggyback, which is a lie. Don't worry. I couldn't, but anyway.
Slim, let's be honest. Is there anybody who can carry Doyle piggyback?
No, hell, he's like a sack of sand. But anyway, I said, well, hell, if I did, I'd get one and out and run that cart. And that's the way everything has happened to all of us all of our lives. And
but, Slim, knowing you.
Oh, Doyle put a stipulation on it with the biggest bosses in here. They heard the stipulation. He gets to inspect my cart. And he's using real good judgment as we sit right now. I imagine there's something being arranged for me. it'll be both ways, of course. I'm going to not insist on searching his cart because he'll want to search mine. That'd be the wrong thing to do. But I think it'll be fun, and if it looks like he's going to pass me, I'm going to push him out of that cart. Well, I will, because what the hell, the ground will break his fall. He's not going to go forever, you know what I'm saying? If it breaks a bone, he'll heal, you know. So it should be fun.
Yeah.
Now, this is true friendship.
I'm true hearing friendship. Some stories about other people that want a wager, and I suspect I'll put them on.
I was going to say, you would never be involved in that sort of thing with other people, would you?
Oh, no, not if I can help it, but lots of times I can't help it. It's just my nature to try to help some of them folks. Of course, my help's toward the poor farm, but it'll be fun.
Yeah.
How much could you charge just to watch? I mean, how many people would love to watch?
That whole room down there, 6,000 people in there, I guarantee they'd give $10 a piece to be able to line up down that aisle. So if y'all got any juice with the management, my suggestion is put some of those cones over on one side so those people won't get out on that cart path.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, then that eliminates the necessity of a security every 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to stop for one of them. I'll hit his fat ass. And I'm not. And I don't want to run over one of them unless I have to. So I'd suggest we. You know what these cones are, like they put out on the highway. Well, this casino's got it, or they got something, and leave a walkway.
Yeah.
And if somebody runs out and wants a picture, well, splash, there. Good luck to them. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But it'll be some fun.
Absolutely.
And it'll break up that poker room down there if they know
Absolutely.
About it. Because these are things I've done all my life, and I enjoy it.
Love this whole thing. This has been awesome. Got one thing, because I might occasionally bet on things, too. On this,
yeah, well, good.
You know, and there, if there happens to be this race with you and Doyle and everything on it, and I could get a couple of side bets concerning it, I'm assuming there's no choice. I end up having to bet on you on this. I assume you have something in the works that's...
Yes, sir. Yes. Well, man, I'm, believe it or not, I'm honest. I know y'all don't believe it, but if I tell you a goose can pull a plow, you go hook him up. He'll goddamn sure drag it off. You understand?
So you know, I would bet on the goose there, too, I think.
You know what? But the key there is it's not what Slim says. That may be the truth. It's what Slim doesn't say.
Yeah.
Well, like I told you, all trappers don't wear fur caps.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee I can go down there and I can get Eli or I can get some of these guys to put a bet up. I'm going to have some fun on this one.
Oh, do. And the only way in the world we could lose it would be for – now, if he starts to pass me, I'm going to try to push him out of that cart.
Well,
because he's big enough to take a fall a little. And that's now, there's some carpets. I'll try to wait till we get to them carpeted areas. I don't wish him any harm, you know.
Well, good luck with the race, and good luck when
you
get to the main event.
Somebody call down there to the poker room and ask them to let me be a little bit late because I'm busy.
You'll be fine. We appreciate your time very much, and we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for visiting with us here. It is a pleasure.
You're welcome.
We all have tremendous amount of respect for you. We are all so happy to see you back in the forefront of the business that, frankly, you helped create.
Very much so.
And
I tried to. You know, you'd like to see the list of the shows I did, from Good Morning to America to Tell the Truth, I've Got a Secret, What's My Line, the morning show. I did every media outlet there is.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did say a bad word about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'd either say something good or I'd go around them.
Mm-hmm.
So no plea to you, because I'm a dirty bastard, but I do use a little integrity in some of the things that's important to me.
They did an interview with me, and I didn't have the proper answer to this. And they said if there had to be a symbol for poker or something or other on that, you know, like the NBA has the guy getting ready to dunk and everything, what would you put for it? I now know the answer. I'd have two profiles. I'd have you on one side. I'd have Doyle on the other, you with your hat with a snake through it, looking at each other. That'd be awesome, because everybody would instantly know that it's Texas Hold'em and it's poker.
It would be synonymous.
Exactly. That should have been my answer.
By the way, about that snake on the hat, if I could see that, I wouldn't wear it. Do you see this scar right here? Can y'all see those two scars?
Yeah.
See, this one's about twice as big. That's where one of them fangs broke off when he bit me.
Wow.
But see, you got to realize he died and I didn't.
Right.
So if you're planning on biting me, you might all think.
He's not going around in a hat with Amarillo Slim on it. Thank you so much, Slim. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Amarillo Slim joining us at the Lumiere Place Final Table. This is 5-9 of the Fan KFNS at KFNS.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Show Me Restaurant and Franchise. Guys, if you're looking for a good lunch, a good supper, go to Show Me's. You can find one anywhere around the metro area. Be in Fairview Heights, be in O'Fallon, it'll be right down here by the Lumiere Place. There's one just a couple of blocks from us, right here on the landing. I go there. I love some of their Cajun burgers, love some of the Show Me burgers down there and their chicken sandwiches, and I eat their wings. Hot wings, better than you'll find in any of the other places around St. Louis. Head on down there. They got great specials for lunch, like a chicken sandwich, only $5.95. Grilled, black, and fried, however the heck you want it. It's Show Me's Restaurant and Franchise. And by the way, you want a franchise? Opportunity is there. Call Ron Coates, 618-444-4447. That's 618-444-4447. According to Ron, if you buy one, or if your vision's good enough, you can buy an entire state. Go down to Show Me's. A great meal, great waitresses, great time. Show Me's Restaurant, happy to have as sponsor of the Lumiere Place Final Table.
In just two short years, World Series of Poker champ Dennis Phillips has earned over $4.5 million because Dennis knows when to hold a great deal. That's why Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room is his game room superstore. Hurry to Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room now for factory closeout deals on poker tables, craps tables, blackjack tables, 3-in-1 casino tables, and accessories. Plus, get Amini's closeout deals on complete game room packages, sale priced from just $1,995. Right right now. Brunswick Billiard Game Room Suites are thousands off, and American-made pool tables are just $995. Hurry to Amini's now for blowout deals on leather sectionals, area rugs, bars, bar stools, video arcade games, and home theater seating. Hold your deal interest-free with two-year layaway. So take a tip from Dennis. Get your great deal today at Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room, Highway 40 and Boone's Crossing in Chesterfield Valley, the home of the Copper Dome Amini's.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Whether you play poker in a home game, a cash game in a casino, or online, this is the show for you. It's the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
Back here in the Dennis Phillips Suite, high above the Rio, the home of the 2009 World Series of Poker, and joined now by Andy Block, who you've seen in so many televised tournaments and in the World Series, and I guess best known for a couple of years ago, finishing second to David Chip Reese in the inaugural $50,000 Horse Championship. Welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here, Andy.
It's good to be here.
So when the World Series rolls around, is there a part of you that gets really, really excited, or is this kind of a lackadaisical day at work for you?
You know, every year you come here, and by the end of it, you're kind of worn out. But really, after you get knocked out, you're really just looking forward to coming back next year. And the rest of the year, In a way, it's kind of like you're just wasting time. You're going through the motions. Yeah, there are a lot of big tournaments, a lot of great events. They threw in the World Series of Poker Europe, which is a lot of fun to go to in London. And, of course, there's the EPT, and there's tournaments all around the world, and the WPT all around the U.S. But really, nothing compares to the World Series of Poker. And, you know, I had no problem sleeping, I think, like 3 weeks ago. But, like, the week before the World Series, it's just like I'm just waking up early and I can't fall asleep at night. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the World Series. I mean, no matter what, no matter how much you try to relax as a poker player, this is it. I mean, this is the World Series. I mean, you don't have to go any further than that. I mean, this is the Kentucky Derby. This is, you know, I'm sure like the horses in the Kentucky Derby don't sleep the night before. Oh, well, they wouldn't if they knew what was going on. But
You've hit it really, though. You just walk down the hallway now. There's almost an excitement. You can just kind of feel the vibes in the air when you walk down here. And it's already started. I thought maybe it'd be building up toward the final event or something, the main event. Good grief. We come here on day one, and it's already just bopping. Oh, yeah, it's just an excitement. You can just feel it.
And the fans in here, I mean, I think every year they get more and more excited, and they're more and more fans. And it's great. And, I mean, I love like, just being able to make somebody happy by, like, stopping and giving them an autograph or taking a picture with them. I mean, how else can you take 5 seconds out of your day to make somebody happy, and they're going to remember it for weeks and months? It's
although
just so much fun.
It is funny for me, walking with Dennis. I've known Dennis for years. A year ago, you know, before the World Series 08, Dennis was just a friend of mine who played poker who had gotten into the main event. Now, when we go downstairs to go to one of the tournaments, he says, we got to leave now. I say, it's only a half hour. We got a half hour till the tournament. No, we have to leave now because I'm going to be stopped 400 times. You must have been running into this every year.
Right. Actually, I think the hat that I wear now actually helps a lot because I can take it off and then I'm a little less recognizable. Before that, I got recognized more without the hat. Mm-hmm. But I think I've reached the perfect level of fame, whereas I get recognized outside of casinos, you know, get recognized from time to time, and it's fun, it's nice, but not too much. Like, I can walk through an airport without too much problem. But, you know, somebody like, you know, Chris Ferguson, who I fly occasionally with.
Yeah.
The airport security guys are stopping him.
But not in a good way.
Well, no, it's a good way, but, you know, they get a whole conversation with him, everything. I mean, it actually helps because, like, you know, we were late once, and we came to, like, we're in Vegas, like, trying to check in, and, you know, somebody helps us, like, cut the line, basically. I mean, we give them a tip and all that, mm-hmm. and, you know, probably nothing anybody else couldn't do by giving the guy $20. But, you know, they help us sort of get there on time. And, of course, we get held up at security. The guy's like, do you have any playing cards in there? Because, you know, we can't let you on the airplane with a dangerous weapon, Chris.
When you're approaching a World Series, and, you know, we're right here at the towards the beginning of the World Series, do you think to yourself in those sleepless nights that you're having, you know what, I'm going to change my strategy up a little bit for this event or for that event?
Well, you always, if you want to be a great poker player, you always got to be thinking about how I can play a little bit better. I mean, Phil Ivey didn't get to be Phil Ivey overnight. He got there by every time he plays poker thinking, what could I have done better? And studying the game. He doesn't study it in the same way as Chris Ferguson does, who treats it more as a, you know, a PhD problem, PhD thesis. Chris, Phil Ivey thinks of it as a, you know, every day, you know, how can I improve my game just a little bit? And he'll win a tournament, and the first thing out of his mouth is, God, I played so bad.
We should all play so bad, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you might hear Tiger Woods say that, too. I think Tiger wins the tournament, and he's like, wow, I missed a shot on, like, the 12th, and I got lucky in the 15th, and I could have played better, and yet he wins the tournament by five strokes, possibly.
But that's
what you always got to be working on improving. And in poker especially, your strategy depends on your opponent, so you always got to be constantly adjusting to the new players in the game. Mm-hmm. Well, these new players are so much better.
Oh, they are. They keep coming off. They keep changing the strategy. Now, what does a bet under the gun mean? Does that mean you've got a monster? Does that mean you're bluffing? Does, you know, whatever then? And they've changed so much, they're even changing the games. They now have a 1K here, which is open to the whole world, and it's a landmine trying to get through the first day of a 1K. So,
yeah, I didn't even try it. I was going to, but I was still in the Omaha from the day before, and then yesterday I had a birthday party and friends in town, so, you know, I just said, okay, I'll just skip the 1K, and, you know, I mean, yeah, it's tough to give up a chance at a bracelet, but that's only one in 6,000 if you're an average player, chance at a bracelet. And even if you're like a Phil Ivey level, even if you're 10 times as good as average, you're still like one in 600 chance of winning a bracelet in that event.
Well, look at this year now, just bringing down already. In the first few events, we set a record for the Omaha High-Low. We've had a 1K that just blew away what anybody thought there would be in it. The 40K got over 200 people in that thing. This thing's off to a great start, and these other ones coming up. I mean, yeah, what's going to be the future of poker here in the next few years?
You know, I just think it's going to mature a little bit. I think it's going to continue. It could possibly grow. One thing that would be a great shot in the arm, a great boost, is if the PPA and the poker players, we get Congress to pass pass legislation that would license and regulate online poker. And that would bring in a lot more entrance into the live events, because mm-hmm. more online sites will be able to qualify people into these events and buy them in directly, and they could have suites and promotional activities directed more at Americans. And it'll be great for the top American poker players too, because then they'd be able to go out and get more sponsorships from these online sites. Right now, all the online sites are going and looking at Europe.
Yep.
And they're thinking, okay, well, we still got to worry about the U.S. market, but more as like, okay, what's going to happen in 6 months or a year? But nobody's thinking like, okay, we got to go and sign up everybody right now because it's, you know. But if that changes, the next year of the World Series, it might be twice as big.
We may get as many people in Las Vegas as the porn people do in January. We could never beat that number, but it could come close. What's your schedule for the series this summer?
Pretty much every day, come in to work at somewhere between noon and 7 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Because there's just about every day there's two tournaments starting. There's a noon tournament and a 5 p.m. tournament, and most of the tournaments you can enter up to 2 hours late.
Yeah.
Some of them you really can't or you really shouldn't, like the shootout events and the heads-up event. If you show up late to the heads-up event, you'll be gone. Unless your opponent's nice and he waits for you, and, you know, and I would probably do that. But
or if you're heads-up with Helmuth.
Yeah. He's going to be late. No problem. But, you know, other than that, pretty much any event you can show up late. If it's a $1,500 buy-in, no-limit event, you're going to want to register early because you're going to want to avoid the lines. But otherwise, you know, come on. I'm a big fan of that rule where they allow you to enter 2 hours late, because especially if you're playing all these events or if you're still in the previous day's event, you have an extra chance to get knocked out and come and play the next event. And last year I played 30 events. Wow. And had five caches in the World Series, not including Europe. And, you know, I'll probably play the same amount again this year. Probably be more money because they have the 40K, and I think they have more 10K events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is true.
Did those five caches cover your buy-ins for 30 different events?
My first cache did, so.
Oh, that's good. So you're free-rolled for the rest of
the... Yeah, last year, actually, my birthday was a lot better because I actually finished second in the first event on my birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been better if I won, so it was a little disappointing finish to it, but...
What was that event?
That was the 10K pot limit hold'em event.
And just this kind of a background to show the legitimacy. What is this? This will be the fourth year in a row, if you have a good year, that you've made over $1 million in earnings?
No, there was 1 year off.
The one year off
I didn't make it. So,
okay, but I know you've got you year after year after year. You're consistently up there, consistently doing well.
The amazing thing, Eric Lindgren, I think, has 5 years in a row, $1 million or more in earnings. Of course, 1 year I think $1 million of that was in one tournament in Australia, the 100,000 Australian tournament. But you know, still, I mean, that's a great record, and it's gonna. Well, you know, it might not be so long before anybody can break that record, but it's going to take a while.
Well, my first kind of association with Andy, other than the at the table or something, was in Washington, D.C. He flew out there to support the PPA, and we went to Walter Reed together. And frankly, whenever I talk about the experience I've had in the last 12 months, somebody said, well, what's some of your most memorable things? That's always one of the top two or three. These guys are just absolutely amazing. And you have done this for years, and you continue to do it the way you support charities and such. It's just absolutely awesome in that. And I guess you're going back to Washington again then in July?
Right. The PPA is having another fly-in where they're bringing in poker players from around the country, not just the famous professional ones, but just average poker players are trying to bring people in, I think, from every single state.
I like the way you looked at me when you said average poker players. Thank you.
I wasn't looking at you. Come on, this is radio.
Hey, he just gave you a compliment. Come on.
But bring in everybody, and, I mean, for them it's great. You have a chance to talk to your congresspeople. You meet with other like-minded poker players, meet some of the pros. It's fun for me to meet with all these people that are really excited about the game and pushing for our rights in Congress, and I love doing all these charity events.
Oh.
And I think this year, more than every year, it seems like there's more and more charity events. That has not been slowing down at all, and it's great. I've been doing like one a week, it seems, and then there are, of course, online now. There's like every week or more. There's a charity event, you know, and I play as many as I can on Full Tilt, and it's just great. Yeah. And I end up like finishing second in them all the time, which means I spend like, 4 hours of my life, which is great, make a little bit extra for charity.
Exactly.
So, you know, and you know, the people really appreciate it because they get a chance to, you know, the two great things. I mean, they get a chance to play with a pro and at the same time support their favorite charity.
I was lucky enough to last Friday, I guess, Annie Duke had one here in Vegas, and we sat down at the very same table. And I made this great move and said, let's just push all in pre-flop because it's a rebuy, right? So Doyle's daughter, Pam, was there. Andy was there. I was there. We all three said, we're going to shove it out before it. And the guy sitting to Andy's right
knows Joan Rivers.
Yes. Oh, he's one of the impersonators?
He's one of the impersonators. Now, and he makes this really, you know, sly move because we're all three all in pre-flop. So he's under the gun, and he makes a mid-raise looking at us like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, type deals. And amazing, when we all three show in, he calls.
Uh-huh.
You know, nobody would have put him on a big hand there at all.
Did he win the hand, the Joan Rivers guy?
Oh, no, this is sick.
I would have been more really suspicious if he limped, actually. But
Yeah. You know, I couldn't understand the mid-raise. It still didn't make any sense. But it didn't make any difference, anyhow. He showed kings. Well, you had two face cards, right, I believe?
I think I had queen 10.
Something like that. Yeah. And Pam had a decent hand over there. And I had an 8-4. So, of
the
course,
nuts.
It was. Flop 2-8s. There you go.
Then you're like River of Full House, too.
I did. It was so sick. So sick. But it was all for charity, and it was rebuys. And Andy's over here. In fact, I think you rebought the Joan Rivers impersonator in one time. I rebought him in one time.
Yep. And then I think I finally busted him, too.
Yeah.
Nice.
Rebuy, busted. You're out.
What a great idea for an event, too, especially after Annie's second place finish there.
Now, Annie
getting,
won that.
Getting ripped
off.
They
showed her a second. She won that, period.
You're friends with Annie, right?
Yeah.
Have you talked to her about that outcome? Because we haven't had a chance to get her up to the suite here.
We've talked a lot about it. I went to the final, the live final.
We're talking about Celebrity Apprentice.
The Celebrity Apprentice. And, you know,
Well, you helped raise
money.
We
all were thinking, like, oh, Annie has to win. I mean, she raised the most money. She did great on the final event. And then they actually changed the criteria. There were supposed to be 6 criteria, and they cut it down to 5. They left out the quality of the auction items, which mm-hmm. Annie had great auction items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so basically let Joan win that 3-2, even though when the definition of criteria isn't like whoever has more of the criteria, you weight them.
Well, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
If somebody crushes on one of them and the other ones are fairly close to a tie, that person should win.
Right.
And Annie crushed in what I think should be the two most important criteria. When you're running a charity event, one of the two most important things, raising money for the charity and raising awareness for the charity.
Yes.
And
yeah.
to me, if you don't win either one of those two, you should lose.
Yes.
Period.
Yep.
I don't care how much you crush by the other things.
Or the number of celebrities you got to show up.
And to me, in fact, some of the things that the other team did were actually offensive. The going out when the other team got was complimented in their strategy for selling the tickets by calling up one of their friends to donate the money so that they could give all those tickets away. But that was money that they could have had donated to the charity. So instead of – so they were lazy and basically took that money from the charity instead of going out and selling those tickets themselves.
Yep, right.
So that was – however much it was, $8,000 or whatever, could have gone to the charity.
Should have been $16,000.
They should have gotten that extra money.
Absolutely.
Because if he's going to buy these tickets and give them away, he would have gone to the auction and just given the money for whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So, you know, some of those things, that, you know, I just
– the fix was in.
It you know, looking back on it, it definitely seems that way.
A
lot of the poker players and other people that were there to support Annie, we thought like she had a real chance. I think one of the first giveaways was should have been that Annie. It was really hard for Annie to get tickets for her friends, because if Annie was going to win, it wouldn't have been too hard for her to get tickets. And then once we got there, we should realize our tickets were all the way over on the side.
Uh-huh. But now let me ask you, in the long run, and answer this as part of the poker community, is it better for her that she came in second?
Some people are saying it's better that she came in second. I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, I think it would be nice if she won. Of course, this generates some controversy, and now poker players are like, hey, we have more to prove. And yes, I think that that gets poker players out there and saying, hey, we still have an image problem.
You're a poker player.
You're
a poker player. You're trash.
You keep your money in your shoe. See, you're all mafia.
See,
all your friends, they're all mafia.
As much as I like Annie, I'm glad that all of that happened because it gave us about a month and a half of shows. and I think Annie proved that poker players are much more respectable than bad comedians.
Yeah, and but you actually qualified her as a comedian. You know, I don't know about that.
All right. Let me ask you both a question here. Dennis is, of course, sponsored by PokerStars.net. Andy is sponsored by FullTiltPoker.net. You've both been playing poker for years before the poker boom and the online generation. How have they changed?
You're calling me old. I mean, I know it was my 40th birthday, but
if he's calling you old, I'm in trouble.
How have they changed how you play poker?
Well, you know, I always say, you know, the game doesn't change. And you're always, no matter what the style of the average player is, you gotta adapt your strategy to the people that are sitting across from you at the table. But what does change is the default assumptions that you make about your players. If you don't recognize somebody, it used to be 15 years ago, if you didn't recognize somebody, they had no idea what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If they came to the table and they didn't know how to look at their hole cards, okay, you knew that they were brand new at poker, or fairly new at casino poker anyway. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, that's actually a bad sign. If somebody doesn't know how to like handle their chips and cards, that means they probably, and they're young especially, means they've probably been playing online poker since before they could be playing a casino.
Right.
And they've probably played more hands than I have, and they're probably a superstar.
If the dealer has to keep telling them to protect their cards, you kind of know what's happening here.
Yeah.
But The biggest skill in poker is one of the biggest skills is being able to adapt to your opponents at the table, and I'm pretty good at that. And the thing you really need to do is figure out who the big fish are right away. And that is usually pretty easy to do, and then you just play differently. Until you figure that out, you want to play a little bit more conservatively, but I'll open up and play a lot more hands when I figure out that there's a bad player in a certain spot of my table, and I figure, you know, I have an idea of, like, some ways to really exploit them.
But so So once you get down to a table where you look around and you don't recognize anybody, is that good or bad for you as a player?
It's usually good, but it's still usually good. But you assume that a lot of these players are going to be great players,
mm-hmm.
and so you have to be a little bit more careful. I'm not gonna judge anybody before I see at least one or two hands that they showed out.
Well, we hope this is a bracelet summer for you. We appreciate you coming by the show here, and I know you guys are going to probably see each other in Washington in July after the main event, but maybe you'll see each other at the main event too.
Oh, that would be sweet.
At the final table wouldn't be bad. Another November 9th.
I'll tell you what. I'd let you beat me. I'd take second right now without a problem.
Yeah, I pretty much would take second in almost.
You are both such liars. You are both such liars.
Hey, I've had to learn to accept second. So,
Andy, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
That's Andy Block joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table, live from Las Vegas at the Rio Hotel in the Dennis Phillips Suite. This portion of tonight's show is brought to you by the PPA, the Poker Players Alliance. They're here at the WSOP 2009, signing up people from all over the world to fight for the rights of poker players both online and offline. Poker players just like you. And you don't have to be here in Las Vegas to join the PPA. All you have to do is go to their website, ppa.org, pokerplayersalliance.org. We've got lots of people here who've been walking up to Brian Spadaro from the PPA and saying, I want to join. I want to help convince Congress to go along with Barney Frank's bill that will be introduced later on this summer. Help make poker legal everywhere in every form in the United States. It can only happen through lobbying action, for which the PPA needs help. And they need members like you. Just $20 to join. Go to the website ppa.org and become a poker playing member of the Poker Players Alliance, one of the proud sponsors of the Lumiere Place Final Table here on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS and KFNS.com. We'll see you next Tuesday night with more from Las Vegas and from St. Louis. And don't forget, you can download our podcast on thechipleader.com.